This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor. Zorba here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and some great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, you can call us right now at 1-800-462-7413. And of course, as always, along with your calls, some interesting topics, Zorba?
Yes, runner's high. Is there really a high? Is there something called exercise gymnasia nervosa, where you have to exercise? You go crazy. We'll talk about it. Rat data that may apply to humans.
Mm-hmm. And?
Mediterranean diet. Better but not cheaper. What does that mean for our health? What does it mean for your shopping basket?
Okay, those coming up. And our recipe.
Moe's Vegan Stuffed Peppers. I've got to tell you, I love stuffed peppers. I love them this time of year. I love them actually any time of year. But the usual stuffed pepper I make is not vegan. It's burger stuffed pepper. This is a great variation on that recipe.
And it's this wonderful. One from Lafayette, Indiana listener Morgan Reitmeyer. That coming up. 800-462-7413. Oh, and don't forget our medical myth buster coming up later in the hour. And Zorba, before we get to the phones, you remember, I don't know, a show or two ago, we had, I think, a trucker on the phone asking about energy bars and whether they're healthy. And we have one of our technical guys here at the station who's a listener, heard the call, and is a big energy bar fan, and generously contributed two energy bars to the show. So let's talk about them.
Well, it's very interesting. We're going to taste them second. We're going to talk about them first. So we've got two energy bars. You know, one of the issues with shopping, looking at energy bars, is you get the concept energy bar, meaning it's not candy, right?
Yeah.
It's energy, it's
good
not
for
candy.
You.
It's good for you versus a Mars bar.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
right.
So we've got one here. The first one is the bear fruit bar. Let's taste this one.
Okay.
To me, it tastes like cardboard filler with fruit in it.
No, it tastes very good to me.
Yeah, you see. But you have no taste.
No, it tastes very fruity and very good.
So you like
is it good for me?
So the bear fruit bar, if we look back on the back of it, we say, okay, serving size is one bar, 130 calories. Not bad. Remember, the standard of a candy bar is 210 calories. That's a Snickers. So this has no fat at all. It has no cholesterol. Looks pretty good. It's got some potassium.
Yeah.
It's basically a carbohydrate bar. That's what it is. So it's a carbohydrate bar. It has a bear on the front of it. It says organic apple raspberries.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it is.
Well, so is it good for me?
It's carbohydrate. It's pretty good. I mean, it's a carbohydrate. It's not exactly like a candy bar because it's got a little bit more fiber in it. So, but it's sort of like a candy bar. Most importantly, it's 130 calories.
Okay.
Let's look at the next bar.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the J. Rob High Protein J Bar Chewy Coconut. Let's see.
Oh, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taste.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like this one better. What do you think? You don't like it as much.
Well, I like coconut. Yeah, I like them about the same, I think.
Okay. This says no junk protein bar. It's 230 calories. So it's 100 calories
100
more.
100 calories more. Yeah, almost twice.
Now, if we look at how big the bar is, the first bar was 37 grams in weight.
Oh, yeah, the first one is not as big.
The second bar is 57 grams in weight. So, in other words, if you look at the number of calories per gram between one bar and the other bar, they're about the same.
Yeah, but does the second one have any, you know, fat in it? Or?
Well, it's got organic raw cashew butter, so it's got a little difference in taste. We look at fat, it's 11 grams of fat.
The other one didn't have any.
Mm-mm. Other one had no fat at all. 11 grams of fat. That's why it probably tasted better to me. I do like that fat. That's where the 11 grams of fat came in. And that's where the extra calories come in. So, lo and behold, the real question is, the bottom line is, how does this compare to a breakfast cereal that you're having at home? Well, frankly, it depends on your cereal. If you're having a high-fiber cereal, you're having low-fat milk, and you're putting some fruit in there, you are better off than you are with an, quote, energy bar, which, Frank, is a candy bar done in a different dressing.
But if I'm a trucker on the road...
What you want to do is you want to go for the bar that has the least number of calories and the most amount of fiber. So I would look at calories and fiber. Accent the fiber because you don't get enough fiber if you're an over-the-road trucker.
Yeah, John, thank you very much for these bars. But do you have any that don't stick to your teeth?
I know they're sticking to my teeth right now. Ah, that's why you've got to brush your teeth after you eat those energy bars.
800-462-7413. A listener joins in now, Zorba, in Bozeman, Montana. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. How can we help?
I have a question for you today about carpal tunnel syndrome. I've been dealing with it for about 5 years now. And I've done quite a bit of research about it, but something I've never been able to understand is what causes the swelling that causes the symptoms of carpal tunnel.
Yeah, and have you done anything about it?
Just last year I had what was called a mini open surgery on my left wrist, and I've been so happy with the results. But it's time to have that surgery in my right hand now. It's getting to where I can't effectively manage the pain at night anymore. So I'd like to see if I can understand what's causing it and maybe even do something in alternative to surgery.
Sure. First of all, carpal tunnel syndrome is that you've got these little bones in your wrist. They're called the carpal bones. And they're a bunch of small little bones. And some nerves go through a tunnel in there. And they're not, it's not really a tunnel, but the bones make de facto a tunnel. Mm-hmm. And what happens that we don't quite understand is that for some people that tunnel is tighter than other people. But there's certain things that will tend to aggravate the tightness of that tunnel, which in the end pinches the nerve. Now, if you're doing a lot of computer work and you put your hands down on the computer, it's not like an old-fashioned typewriter where I was taught you had to lift your hands up because you had to push with your forearm. But in a computer, you don't. So do you do a lot of computer work?
Hardly at all. But I do use an ATV quite a bit for the course of my work where I'm...
Wait, you an ATV? What sort of work do you do?
I spray weeds from an ATV.
So you spray weeds from an ATV. Okay, so putting your hand down there on an ATV, or which is an unusual type of work, I have to tell you. One is inside, one is outside. Yeah. But it's putting pressure on that area, the wrist, and the bottom part of the wrist, sort of at the base of the thumb, if you will, and you go where the crease of the wrist is. The more pressure you put on, often the worse the carpal tunnel is. And we open up the carpal tunnel often with a splint, which is called a cock-up splint. That's the name of it. Mm-hmm. And it holds the wrist up a little bit and kind of often puts a little less pressure on the carpal tunnel. Why it happens? We just know that constant pressure on the tunnel tends to produce the pain. That's kind of all we know about it. Now, What can you do about it? An alternative treatment is large doses of pyridoxine phosphate, vitamin B6, 50 to 100 milligrams, which is a pretty hefty dose, once a day or twice a day. Some people think that will work. Some people think just mega B vitamins will work. You just go and you get a B vitamin complex and you take basically double or triple the dose that's on the bottle. You take one or two tablets 3 to 4 times a day. See if that works. The splint works for lots of people. Lots of people. Some people, they work if you inject a little steroid into the carpal tunnel itself. And then, for many people, it's a matter of then going and having the surgery. Now, I've had the surgery myself. I have carpal tunnel in both hands. I did it in the right wrist, that same mini surgery, and that's the standard surgery now, is a very, very small incision. And the pain went away in my right wrist, but because I didn't have the surgery on my left wrist, the pain periodically bothers me for some reason more in the winter than in the summertime. And it bothers me in the spring and the fall the most. So there is seasonal variation too. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I had not heard of the B vitamin option.
Yeah, the B vitamin option may work. But once again, putting less pressure on there, the splints, the wrist, and look at when you're on that ATV and you're going around and spraying those weeds, look at how much pressure there is on the base of the wrist. That may be the culprit.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the call. 800-462-7413. Callers are waiting, but a line is open now for you at 1-800-462-7413. On we go, Zorba, to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hello.
Hey.
What's up?
Oh, not much. Just got a couple questions I thought I'd try to figure out.
Shoot.
I'm 30 years old, like to consider myself young still, and also like to consider myself decently healthy. I cook from home. I don't eat out very often, all fresh ingredients. I probably drink a little more than I should and smoke every now and then, probably socially, but I went to the doctor and, had some blood work done and so forth, and basically my triglyceride levels came back at about 476. My good cholesterol, whatever they call that, is about 16, and I'm just kind of curious. I'm concerned. Why am I about to die?
I was going to say, are you calling from the grave?
Now, you know.
Let me back you up. You smoke in social occasion? What does that mean?
You know, on the weekends, I probably drink a little more than I should, but, you know, I don't drink during the week, and I don't really smoke much during the week at all, but, you know, I'm not a chain smoker by chance, and I mean, I can hold on to a pack for about, you know, a couple weeks, so.
Yeah. Well, Zorba, talk about his numbers.
Well, first of all, let's talk about why we care about the numbers. We care about the numbers because of heart disease, so the goal is to reduce heart disease, not reduce the numbers. That may be part of the goal, but the goal is heart disease. Yeah. But let's look at the numbers. But before that, family history of heart disease in your family?
Nobody that I know of has died of a heart attack. My grandfather did die of a heart attack, but again, he's in his 70s. You know, other than that, nobody in my family are like early gravers, you know. So
early gravers. I like it. Early gravers. I mean, I don't really like it, but I like it as a phrase.
I'm not sure it's okay to die of a heart attack in your 70s either.
That's for yes. No, no, no. Changes every year. So,
well, I think about 70. You've lived a good life. It's all right, you know.
I have a different theory. Anyway, Zorba.
So first of all, triglycerides. Triglycerides are the most sensitive to diet. In other words, they are the most sensitive to diet, triglycerides. So, in other words, if your triglycerides are high, it generally means your diet may not be as good as it should be. So one of the things you want to do is literally go to a bookstore, a good bookstore in your area, look at a triglyceride or a cholesterol diet, look at something online, and look at those foods that basically will lower it. And going to a more Mediterranean diet will generally lower triglycerides. If you follow it, it takes literally 2 to 3 months. It does not happen right away.
How bad is that number?
It's a bit high. Anything over 150 is high.
Well,
we worry at 500. So, you know, it's trending toward the high. But we have to look at the other aspect, which is a low HDL.
Yeah, 16.
16, that's very low. Low HDL. HDL is increased with exercise. What sort of exercise do you do?
Well, I'm in sales, so I do nothing.
So you do nothing.
Okay. Well, you talk a lot.
Okay. That's right. Do nothing. You're in sales. So if you talked yourself into these occasional cigarettes are good for me, that's part of your sales to you.
Selling yourself.
You're selling yourself a bill of goods. So my first recommendation for the HDL is do something. Do something versus doing nothing, because that really does make a difference. Let's look from the alcohol point of view. When you say you drink too much on the weekends, it means you drink too much on the weekends. Mm-hmm. I mean, by definition, you defined it yourself. Number three, you're not heavily addicted to cigarettes, but it's a habit. Get rid of it. You know, one to two a day is not good. What you want to do is make it zero a day and zero on the weekend and still go along with your buds and go to a non-smoking bar when you're drinking. And then one of the things about alcohol is the way to cut down on alcohol, so sometimes it's just habit, is every other drink you have is alcoholic. So in other words, if you're having a beer, you get a regular beer if you're going out with friends, and then the next beer is a non-alcoholic beer, and then the next beer is a regular beer, and you can cut your alcohol consumption by 50% that way. And that's just another factor there. They all make a difference, but I don't think you're an early graver.
Well, that's pretty much what I was wondering. Right. I mean, like I said, when the doctor told me I had those numbers, he was just like, we need to get you on medication. And if I could avoid that, you know, I don't want to get on blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication if I can avoid it.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for the call.
All right, thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. 800-462-7413. You're suggesting to that last caller, Zorba, that exercise is an option. But our question now is, can you, in a sense, get addicted to exercise?
The real issue is that, can you show addiction and are there addictive issues?
So
they looked at rats.
Yeah.
So, you know, rats we know are our friendly animals that we look at for things. Male and female rats. One group was housed inside an exercise facility. You know what that is for a rat?
A box, I guess.
A box with a wheel. Yeah. That's the exercise facility for the rat. Yeah. Doesn't cost much, no fancy machines, just a wheel goes around and around and around.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
Another group had no exercise wheel. They were housed in a non-exercise facility without a television, television. Each group was then divided and allowed, one group was allowed access to food 1 hour per day. Each group, they had 1 hour per day of access, or 24 hours per day, so they could eat as much as they wanted to. So then they looked over time, the exercise rats did more exercise because they could do that. And then they looked at the non-exercise rats, and then they gave something called naloxone. Now, naloxone is for opioid withdrawal. It's a drug that we give for people who have overdosed on different sorts of opioids to see whether or not that would make a difference in the rat activity. And lo and behold, the rats who exercised a lot on the exercise wheel when given naloxone stopped exercising and eating as well, and they just showed that they were kind of washed up. I think if we take this particular study and we apply it to humans, we say, if you're exercising and you love it, you actually are really getting a chemical high from it. Yeah. Keep it up. But if you exercise to the detriment of other aspects of your life, get a life and find some balance in there. And you can do that because unlike rats, we have access to things besides just wheels and empty boxes.
Yeah, well, usually, at the end of talking about this kind of topic, I would say something about my couch potato tendencies and putting down as you know, Zorba.
Yes, that's right.
I've changed.
That's right.
After all these years, I've taken at least half of your advice.
Right.
You always say good diet and exercise. Well, my diet I haven't changed that yet, but I am exercising now.
And how do you feel?
I feel really good. But I do have to say, based on the in relation to this topic, I'm not addicted to
it. No.
I really have to push myself.
Right. No, you do not have the addiction.
I wonder
otherwise,
if that
you'd
addiction
be doing
will
it.
Come. At
well,
time.
It might come. It might come. I think there's also an inherited trait here. Some people like to exercise. We just had the Ironman competition in Madison, and I looked at people. They swim, they bike, and then they do a marathon at the end. And
ridiculous.
I thought, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. But they don't think it's ridiculous. They think it's gung ho, and they love doing it, and I think that's really where there are differences between us. Nonetheless, the high you get from exercise is real.
And the number is 1-800-462-7413. Here's a listener with us now, Zorba, in St. Louis, Missouri. Hello.
Hello.
How can we help?
I am taking, I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, but bear with me. It's lisinopril.
No, you didn't butcher it at all, actually. You did it very well, lisinopril. Well, good work. Kudos to you. You've got 1 point on the Zorba Pastor. On your health, talk to that medicine show.
Okay, I'm going to ruin it with the second one because it's a two-part medication, and it's hydrochlorothiazide.
That's pretty good. You get almost a point for that. Hydrochlorothiazide.
That's the one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Zorba, my question is, I've taken this for some time. I'm not very happy about it, but it beats the headaches that not taking it gave me because of hypertension. And now I'm winding down my life to retirement, and I'm wondering if there's a homeopathic remedy so that I can stop taking this stuff.
Well, let's look at high blood pressure. First of all, the things that can affect high blood pressure that you can do from a natural point of view are lose weight. What's your height? What's your weight?
Weigh about 2 1/4.
2 1/4, and you're how tall?
6'1" and 3/4.
6'1". Okay, so, you know, that may be right. But 10 or 20 pounds can make a difference for some people. Some people, 20-pound weight loss produces and controls their blood pressure. It's a weight issue. How much alcohol do you drink?
Well, I only drink it when I go boating.
Okay, and you boat every day?
No, sadly I don't, but I don't drink unless I'm on the boat.
Okay, alcohol is not an issue. It's not an issue.
How about
salt in your food? Do you prepare the food yourself or do you eat out all the time?
No, I prepare my own food and I don't salt anything.
Okay, so those are the three things that you can do from a natural thing. Weight loss of 10 or 20 pounds, no alcohol, see if that works. Salt, see if that works. Now, homeopathic remedies, garbage. They don't do anything. They're worthless. Now, the homeopathists that I have around will say, no, they really work. They don't. They don't work. They really don't. Now, Let me talk about blood pressure and the aggressive treatment of blood pressure, which is what we do. When I started medical school years ago, compared to now, we've had a drop of 70% in stroke rate in this country. 70%. Humongous. We've had a drop in premature heart attacks of 65%. About three-quarters of that to 80% of that is because we treat high blood pressure aggressively. Really, it's probably the biggest thing we've done for public health outside of immunizations for children that we've done to help with life. If we look at the cancer statistics, we're awful. We're really good for lymphoma and leukemias of children, but in terms of adult cancer, people who end up getting cancer and it spreads, we don't do a very good job. But in terms of cardiovascular prevention, we're awesome. I mean, we really have done a great job. So I would try those things that I just talked about and see if they work. If they don't work, I would take my pill.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks a lot for the call. Zorba, time now to put you on the clock for another edition of Rapid Fire. Are you ready?
I am ready.
So away we go. Bonnie from Trenton, Florida, heard us chatting about raw cow milk. You said it was too risky. She wants to know if that applies to raw goat milk.
Absolutely the same thing. Goats and cows can share some of the same diseases, but not all of them. But raw is raw. Be careful. Pasteurization saved lots of lives.
And staying with the milk theme, Zorba, Charlotte in St. Louis, Missouri wants to know if it's bad to microwave breast milk.
You know something? I think we can warm up breast milk any way we want to. For our babies, microwaving is safe for sure.
And from Crossville, Tennessee, doesn't have a question, but sent us a quick note about her discovery that after only listening to your radio show, I finally decided to do an online search. And much to my surprise, I found out that you are not a Greek minister after all.
I love it.
A listener named Deline claims she's very healthy and takes her vitamins, but has a hard time swallowing the large pills. I bought some children's gummy vitamins and take twice the dose. Is this a good idea, or am I wasting my money?
Absolutely. The gummy vitamins taste so much better. And you know what? My wife, Penny, hates taking her vitamins. And guess what I give her? I give her gummies at twice the dose. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Finally, Rowan from St. Louis, Missouri is curious to know if housework counts as part of your daily exercise.
Absolutely. As long as you make that housework aggressive, I recommend turning up the music and running around the house as fast as you can and get up your pulse. Aerobic housework. That way you can do two things in one. Clean your house and make your body strong.
The clock has run out for this edition of Rapid Fire, but make sure to get your question in for our next round. Just send your email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
Stay with us for the recipe coming up next. More of your questions too at 800-462-7413. We have some more research to talk over and our medical myth buster all right where you are now here on Zorba Pasture on Your Health from PRI Public Radio International. With Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. That toll-free number again is 800-462-7413. We have callers waiting, but a line is open now for you at 1-800-462-7413. But before we get back to the phone, Zorba, let's welcome in for our recipe of the week a listener in Lafayette, Indiana, Morgan Reitmeier. Mo, hi.
Hi, guys.
Can I call you Mo?
Absolutely.
So you sent us Mo's vegan stuffed peppers.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you come across this recipe?
Well, I had some fantastic peppers from the farmer's market here in Lafayette, mm-hmm. and stuffed peppers sounded really good for a fall dish. So I sort of checked out some recipes online. My friend Danielle has sort of taught me how to gather up recipes and make them my own, and mm-hmm. so that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
and out came the vegan stuffed peppers.
Are you a vegan?
I'm not. I am a vegetarian, though.
I happen to love stuffed peppers. I just love them, especially when they're around and plentiful and cheap and inexpensive. Although peppers are never – green peppers are never overly expensive, but they're really nice during certain times of year, and I just love it. And my usual pepper recipe is one that uses what my mother used to make, which was basically
ground beef.
Yeah, that's right. Used it. Okay, so let's start out with this Moe's Vegan Stuffed Peppers. Mm-hmm. Start out with four peppers, sweet peppers. What do you use? Green, red, yellow, blue, purple?
I've been using red. They're so beautiful this time of year.
Yeah,
but I think the red or yellow, they're more mild and they tend to be a little sweeter when you cook them this way. But you could probably use green.
They are. They're good this time of year. They're good at a time of year when you actually can get them and they're cheap. Otherwise, I don't know where you are, but they're like $3.50, $4 a pound during the off season. So that's why I stay away from them. And they look good. A 1 cup of breadcrumbs.
Cup
of breadcrumbs. You get fresh breadcrumbs every time?
Well, I've been using the bread I have around the house and just toasting it and then tearing it up.
That way,
whatever bread you sort of use can be
that's
your bread.
Huge.
Yeah.
That's
so let me.
Huge.
I've never thought about that. So you take bread and you toast it up, and then what do? Crumple it into little crumples?
Yep, I just tear it apart, and that way if you use a high-fiber bread or a high-grain bread, I've used both homemade white bread and high-grain, nine-grain bread. They both taste wonderful.
I love that as a concept. I think that is great. I've never thought about that at all. And I'm always looking at breadcrumbs and thinking, you know, which one am I going to get? I don't particularly like any of the brands of breadcrumbs that are available to me most of the time. But I do have a variety of different kinds of breads, and using that instead would add a lot of taste to it. Don't you think, Tom?
I guess.
Tom guesses yet. Okay. A 1 cup. Now, what is this? Gimme lean ground sausage. Tell me about that.
Well, it's a meat substitute. It's got a lot of sausage spices, and it has the texture of meat. So vegetarians and vegans use it a lot to sort of supplement their protein in their diet.
So
you could also use other meat substitutes.
So gimme lean ground sausage is kind of a euphemism for tofu.
I think that it's a type of it's not quite tofu, it's a type of protein, but I know how you feel about tofu, so we're just going to avoid using that word for now.
Tofu, I love it. Not quite tofu ground sausage.
Okay.
You know, Tom can smell tofu a mile away.
You can't fool me. Okay.
That's right. 1 cup of fresh basil, roughly chopped. That's great during the season. So a little basil, not a little. That's
Isn't
actually
basil?
A lot of basil. Basil, basil, I never know. Is it basil or basil? Oh, no.
Basil.
We're going to get
basil.
So many calls.
It's basil.
It's basil.
It's basil, yeah.
And we're going to get so many calls
knows
on that.
It's basil.
Mo
yeah.
knows a bit. Okay, 2 green onions chopped.
Mm-hmm.
1/4 cup of olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do your thing, Zorba.
What kind of olive oil do you use?
I always use extra virgin, and I get it at this cheapo place and blah, blah, blah. We know.
You can run the show yourself. You don't need me. I'm quitting. I quit.
Don't quit.
Go on. 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil, whatever you have. 1/4 cup of raisins. What kind of raisins do you use?
I used golden raisins, but I think that any raisins would give it just that little sweetness when you're eating it, or
currants would
also be very good.
They would. But the golden often look better. Sometimes the other raisins don't. But either one would be fine. Mm-hmm. Pinch of sage.
Mm-hmm.
And salt and pepper to taste. Let's make the recipe. Mm-hmm. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Prepare the 4 red peppers by cutting the tops off and taking out the seeds. Toast 2 or 3 pieces of bread, crumble them into a bowl, then add the sausage, basil, green onions, olive oil, raisins, sage, salt and pepper to taste. Then stuff the mixture into the peppers, wrap each one individually with aluminum foil and bake in the oven for 1 hour, turning after 30 minutes. So in other words, you turn them, you mean, when you say turning them, you've got them standing up in the oven. What do you mean, turn them after 30 minutes?
Well, what I do is I have them laying over on their side, and then after about half an hour, I flip them over just so that they cook evenly all the way.
Okay, so you bake them on the side. Yeah, and I will take a small little. I have a small little Pyrex pan, and I put them in so I can put them in so that they'll stand up if I do them enough. But that's a great idea. The aluminum foil, I kind of like it. Adds a little structure to it, so it doesn't fall apart when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it kind of helps them steam themselves.
Yes.
So you don't need an additional liquid like tomato soup or tomato juice around them.
That is a great idea. You know, there are two things here that I really love about it, and I love about listener recipes. I never thought about the bread crumbs. Mm-hmm. Great idea. Different bread will give you different crumbs and a different texture. And then the second tip is wrap them in aluminum foil. Those are two great tips. Great recipe. Yeah. Great
now,
vegan recipe.
Quick question. You could put some other stuff in here too, I'm guessing, Mo.
Absolutely. Some people, you can kind of think of it as your favorite stuffing from the fall for turkeys or whatever. So some people like celery. I've made it recently with apples. So anything that kind of adds texture and different flavors to the stuffing works perfectly. Oh, yeah. Really making it your own is really important.
Yeah, good idea. And you serve this with?
You can serve it with fresh beans. You could serve it with beet greens or kale. If you need some iron in your diet. So.
That sounds kind of good.
I like it. I think it sounds great. Yeah. Even you think it sounds kind of good? Yeah. I can't believe it. A recipe made with soy and tofu by another name in Thompson.
No, not quite tofu.
Not quite tofu. Yeah. Sounds kind of good.
That part is maybe okay. Mo, thanks a lot.
Thank you guys so much.
Mm-hmm. And for sending us this winning recipe, Morgan gets a free copy of our cookbook, Heart Healthy, Low Fat, Guilt-Free, and Tasty Recipes from the Kitchen of Zorba Pastor. And if you want to enter our recipe contest, it's easy. Just email your original low-fat recipe to us at
Zorba@WPR.org.
And if you want a copy of today's recipe, visit our website at
ZorbaPastor.org. And while you're there, you can sign up for our weekly recipe podcast and search all of your favorite Zorba Pastor on your health recipes. That's ZorbaPastor.org.
1-800-462-7413, our toll-free number, 800-462-7413. And Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener now in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
Hey, good spirits to you from Jacksonville, Florida. Big fan of the show. I'm absolutely thrilled to talk to you both.
Thanks a lot. We're happy to get your call. How can we help?
I'm type 1 insulin-dependent diabetic, a nasty little genetic time bomb that went off from my grandmother. I came on adult onset, and I am just absolutely mortified at day after day, week after week, getting the recipes and going to shop and finding out that simply because I need less ingredients, less sugar, the price goes up, and I'm so tired of getting gouged, and even more importantly, I am so tired of missing out on doctors' wonderful recipes, and I'm wondering how we can get around that so I can get fat and sassy and still stay under my sugar count. Help me, please.
Yeah, it's very interesting. That's such an important issue. When you look at our society and you look at the industrial production of food, Michael Pollan wrote a great book, which was The Omnivore's Dilemma, and wrote a number of other books about this. I think he's a great researcher. He really shows that it's corn syrup and it's corn that inevitably has reduced the price of food within our society. So if we compare food today to what food costs, forgetting your food for a second, but comparing regular food bills today versus 30 years ago, they've dropped quite significantly. As a percentage of the budget of what we make as a living, Americans pay the lowest amount of any industrialized nation in the world. In other words, our food prices are very low, and it's all because of sugar and corn and the production of corn within our society and soybeans.
Right.
They really do a lot for this. And you've noticed it. You've noticed that the stuff that has a lot of sugar in it that you really can't eat as a diabetic because it's too much of a high glycemic index is the stuff that is the cheapest, and it's because of corn syrup. And it's a dilemma in one way, and in another way, it's not going to be solved because basically it's cheaper to produce. It's cheaper
right.
to produce, and that produces obesity in our society. So you cook for yourself at home? Is that what you do?
A lot of times, and what's so funny, Doctor, is I also teach advanced placement in human geography, so everything you're saying plays right into my wheelhouse in that you're exactly correct, and it's just such a befuddlement for me, though, because I love to eat. I'm 6.5 feet tall, a couple of bills shy of 300, and I'm not going to stay away from the table. I've got my sugar under control, but I think what I find myself feeling the most frustrated about is the best foods have sugar almost hidden in it, like you were talking about. Everything has the sugar. You don't even know things you wouldn't even imagine. And unless you're constantly testing like I have to do, you don't even know that something has sugar in it. And I do not want to miss any more of your recipes. I'm not going to take it anymore.
Well, it's a matter of reading the labels, as you do. Being the literate consumer makes a huge difference. And it's just like people who have to be on a gluten-free diet. They find out that gluten is around everywhere, especially in processed food. And when people who have peanut allergies, they discover that peanuts are used everywhere in processed foods. And the only way to get it under control is for you to to make your own foods and reading those labels. That's how you get control. But that costs more money.
Right.
But in the end, it pays off because it makes you healthier. So you kind of have to look at it as an investment in your life. That's the way I'd look at things.
Now, what did you say? Did you say you teach
advanced placement human geography?
What is that?
Well, you know how geography is mountains and lakes and rivers and streams?
Right.
Advanced placement human geography tells you what happens when the humans jump into the rivers and lakes and streams.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's just like anything else. It's all simple until you involve people, right?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I just love your show. I'm a great fan, and I really, really am thrilled to be talking with you
both. Well, we appreciate the call, and we thank you very much for it. 800-462-7413. And before we break, Zorba, let's stay in our radio kitchen to clear up a cooking question from Tammy in Green Bay, Wisconsin. She writes, "You mentioned that you use something other than cornstarch to thicken things, such as soups. What is that product, and do you use the same measurements that you would for cornstarch or flour?"
Right. What I actually use is a flour that has been modified. In other words, it's been ground in a certain way, and it's called Wondra, W-O-N-D-R-A. It's made by General Foods. I happen to like it. I used it as soon as it came out many years ago, back in the 60s, and I think it adds a nice texture to it. I use that instead of cornstarch.
Now, Tammy goes on, "Would this also work in thickening other things, such as a baking glaze that calls for cornstarch, or a thickener in pies?"
I don't think I would use it in that because it would taste too doughy and it would be too hard. I think they're using cornstarch makes a lot of sense because it has more gelatinous sort of a taste to it. One of the other things you can use, although I don't use it, is tapioca. Tapioca is also, especially in Indonesian, Malaysian foods, commonly used in Filipino foods as a thickening. But Wondra is what I use. It's easy, it's cheap, it's inexpensive, and it works well.
She says, "I'm very tired of having lumps and bumps and everything I try to thicken."
Well, another trick is when you thicken, you whisk it. You don't just put it in there with a spoon. You whisk it, and you whisk it, and whisk it, and whisk it. And the faster you whisk it, the better it ends up dissolving.
Well, through thick or thin, we're here to help. Send your questions to the show in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
Some interesting research coming up, more of your calls, and our medical MythBuster. Right here on Zorba Pasture on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. More of your calls coming up, but first, Zorba, let's talk some about the Mediterranean diet. You say healthier, but not cheaper, and that can be a problem.
That's right. Healthier, but not cheaper. And this particular study took place in Spain, but I know this study could easily be replicated in America. And what they did was they looked at university graduates. They looked at nearly 17,000, 18,000 university graduates, followed them for a total of about 7 years, long time, 7, 8 years, 9 years, from 1999 to roughly 2008. And about 12,000 of them continued to fill out their diet diaries and so on. And they looked at people who ate more olive oil, you know, Mediterranean diet. They're in Spain. Olive oil, fish, more vegetables, mm-hmm. fresh fruits and vegetables. And they spent, on the whole, nearly $1 more per 1,000 calories. So if the average person has a 2,000 or 3,000 calorie diet somewhere around there, they basically were spending about $2 to $3 a day more,
yeah.
which transfers into a lot of money. You know, $3 a day more on food turns out to be, you know, easily, you know, quite a lot of money when you add it for the whole year, roughly $1,200 a year. So maybe it's $1,500 a year salary. It's mm-hmm. a lot. And what they also found was that people who spent more money on food and followed a more Mediterranean diet generally had less weight gain than people who followed less of a Mediterranean diet. So when we look at the Mediterranean diet, which is really good, it costs more.
Yeah, what is it about it that costs more?
Well, fresh fruits, perishables cost more, right? So your fresh fruits and vegetables, it costs more. Fish per ounce of protein costs more than beef.
Mm-hmm.
Beef is pretty cheap in this country. Chicken's even cheaper than that per cost of protein. Nuts, good nuts. And when I say good nuts, I mean things other than peanuts. They cost more money all along the line. Olive oil costs more money than corn oil.
Yeah, so maybe we ought to be a little careful because we're always talking about Mediterranean diet. Some people can't afford a Mediterranean
diet. Well, some people cannot afford a Mediterranean diet, but more importantly, that means your food bill is going to be higher. It's part of what you need to stay healthy. Just like some people have to exercise and they may be able to go to a gym. But when you look at it from a sociological point of view, people who are poor have much more difficulty following a Mediterranean diet.
That's
and frankly, people who are poor tend to be heavier because their food choices are more limited. They're more likely to get processed foods and so on, and foods that are higher fat and have a glycemic index that is more likely to make them diabetic.
Well, there's nothing society can do about that either. I mean, costs.
I think what you have to do is you have to look at your money and you have to look at your budget and you say, okay, it's going to cost me more money to eat the right food when I go to the grocery store. I'm going to spend my money there. I think that's what it is. I think your view shouldn't be I'm going to get cheaper foods because my food bill will be cheaper. Your view should be, I'm going to get better foods, and that's where I'm going to put my resources so that I become healthier.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number. That's 1-800-462-7413. Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener now in Bronx, New York. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I just heard about you guys on the radio, and I think you're great. And I had a question that I've been wondering about for a while, so mm-hmm. I decided to call you.
Okay.
Well, I was allergic to cats growing up. I couldn't even go to a person's house that had cats.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older, the allergy started to subside. And about a year ago, I got a kitten. And it was working out well, and I wasn't having any allergy attacks. But I've noticed in the last 11 months that I've gotten sick a lot more. I got bronchitis 3 times in one season.
Wow.
And it's taken me longer to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if living with an animal that I could be mildly allergic to is making me get sick more.
Oh, these are hard choices in life for you. How long? So you've had this kitty cat for how long?
I've had her for almost a year.
Yeah, and you're attached to her a lot, aren't you?
I love her. She's my little girl I come home to.
She's your bud. You come home and you go, "Hi, honey, how are you doing?" You know,
it's
the cat
great.
Meows, and I'm a cat person, but we have dogs because I'm allergic to cats. But you come home and you just become attached to these animals. You know that they're. You know, and they have their own personalities. You know, they come up and you think that they know what your
cats?
Emotions are. My God. Tom is not a cat person.
Their personalities are. As soon as you come in the door, they skitter away and
no.
then you don't see them.
Cats are wonderful. They're like dogs.
Or else, if you don't like cats, they come up and hang around you all
the time. God. You can just tell what his view of cats are. Now, I've got a couple questions. When you go away on vacation, okay, do you notice any difference at all when you're leaving the house? I mean, do you ever get away from the house for 3 to 4 days or something and have somebody else come in and take care of the cat? Has that happened? Any difference at all?
No, not at all. I was gone for about 9 days and came back and cuddled with her and no allergic reaction.
Okay, what do you do for a living?
I work for an underwater construction company.
Underwater construction company? What is an underwater construction company?
We fix bridges and dams and quarries, and we build the deep saturation systems that they dive with down the Gulf to fix the oil line.
Well, do you work underwater?
No, I stay on land. I'm in the office.
You're in the office, which is above water. You're in the office. Well, I don't think you're necessarily allergic to this cat. I'm gonna make a statement like that. Usually, if you're allergic to the cat, you're wheezing, you're itching, you're smell, you know, you're sniffling. When you get away from the house, you go, gosh, things are better. You come back to the house, things are worse. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that happens with colds and infections like this is sometimes you can go for years and you don't get them, and mm-hmm. then you can go 1 year and you can have two or three. Mm-hmm. And it's quite interesting. Years ago, my wife used to get lots and lots of colds. Lots of chest infections. She no longer gets them, and I never got them years ago, and now I get two or three chest infections a year often. Now, this year I got one, but the year before I got three, and they were just kind of awful, and I thought, what am I doing wrong? And it's nothing that I'm doing. We have an animal in the house, a poodle, but we've had poodles now for about 20 years. Standard poodles, great dogs, better than cats. Ah! Anyway, I won't say that. But, so I think you're okay. I don't think it's a cat thing, but I would keep the dander down. You know, I would make sure that there's not a lot of cat fur around. That would be one thing. Another thing you can do is get an ionizer for your house. These are little funny contraptions that throw ions into the air, and what they do is they actually cause the dust and dander to stick to the wall. It's a funny thing, but it charges the dust in the air, and when the dust is charged, it sticks to the wall like glue. And so it really does cut down on the dust in the house. And I'm a great believer in them. They're not, you can buy cheap ones and expensive ones. Go for the cheap because mm-hmm. they seem to be just as good. But I don't think you're allergic to the cat. So I don't think I'd, and you're not going to get rid of the, you know, to get rid of a cat's a big issue.
Sure.
You know, so I think you may have just been coming into contact with people with bronchitis. One of the things you can do is also use Purell and these other sort of hand sanitizers. I really think they cut down on viral infections. And they help a lot. So.
Okay.
So, good
Great.
Luck. Well, thanks for listening. You know, spread
Thank
the word. You. We love calls from New York.
Yeah, and thanks for that call. Zorba, we've reached the point in the show once again where it's time for our medical myth buster. Today's myth deals with arthritis. We know that a healthy diet is key to heart-healthy living, but can it help ease arthritis pain?
Well, there are lots and lots and lots of arthritis diets. Lots of things that people eat to take care of their arthritis, from grapefruit on to vitamins, and lots of things that people avoid in order to make sure they don't have arthritis. The Mediterranean diet, emphasizing fruits and veggies that we just talked about with arthritis. When you look at everything altogether, there's no strong evidence that a diet will actually help your arthritis. Now, let me give the exception to that. Mm-hmm. There is some evidence that fish oil actually helps arthritis. So a lot of people eat fish oil capsules, and they do find that their arthritis is eased. Well, people who eat fish may actually get an improvement from that. Mm-hmm. And people who have more nuts, and I don't mean peanuts, have more omega-3 right. fatty acids, which are the things that are found in fish oil capsules, that might also help. So the reality is, although there's no hard science on this, mm-hmm. I think it's just like the weather. Some people say, hey, as soon as the weather changes, my arthritis starts to hurt. I can tell the difference. I think there are individual differences. So the myth is that foods cause arthritis or can cure arthritis. And the answer to the myth is, for some people, yes, and for other people, yeah. probably
See,
not.
See, I always sort of believed in this myth. I always thought too much sugar could make your arthritis worse. Not true.
I don't think so. I think this is an individual thing. And I think it's just like any other lifestyle issue. Some people find they feel better eating certain foods. Some people make, you know, you'll eat foods, it makes you feel kind of heavy and tired and sluggish and fatigued. And other people will say they feel much better. So I think the answer is that there's no one food that does it, but I think we all have individual differences.
If you have a myth you'd like Zorba to bust, send it to the show in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number. And Zorba, listener with us now in Liberty Lake, Washington. Hi.
Hi there.
What's up?
My daughter is about 12 years old, and she absolutely loves to play soccer, but she gets a terrible skin rash on her legs from the shin guards and the socks and the irritation and running. And we've had one doctor prescribe Elidel, and we've had other doctors say, don't touch the stuff, it's not safe for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is Elidel safe to use on kids with eczema, skin rashes, or is there another less medical, or, you know, less potentially harmful solution?
Well, basically, what we often do with skin rashes of an eczemoid nature, there are a variety of different things that we use. If it's, this is on the shin, you said?
Yeah,
on the leg.
On the front of her leg.
Yeah, often the cheapest, most inexpensive thing is you start with over-the-counter 0.5% hydrocortisone, which is the strongest you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that doesn't work, you call your doctor for something that's really cheaper, and it's 2.5% hydrocortisone cream. And we've been using that for years on minor rashes with children, not on the face, very important, not on the face. We use them in other areas, and usually that works pretty well. And if that doesn't work, I think Elidel, which is a different type of a steroid cream, really is okay to use. I mean, but I think you just, you know, use this judiciously, and then you go back to a hydrocortisone-type cream to use. But so how long has she had the rash for?
Oh, virtually since she was a baby. It just changes where it erupts based on...
How old is she now?
12.
And what kind of soap do you use? Do you use, you know, Dove soap or Basis?
We've gone to Cheerfree laundry detergent.
Good.
We use Aquaphor or
Excellent.
Eucerin
Excellent.
Calming cream.
Perfect. That's exactly
and
right.
And we buy hypoallergenic suntan lotion.
Super.
We try
that's
to go
all,
the whole
that,
route.
That is all the right stuff that you should be doing, basically, for your daughter. That's all the right stuff. I would keep up with that. And I think the Elidel is really an okay cream to use. But I'd use hydrocortisone first. Cheaper, more inexpensive, and if that works, that's what I'd start
with. Then stick with that.
You bet.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your help. I've enjoyed visiting with you.
A pleasure.
Well, we've enjoyed it, too. Thanks. Thank you so much for the call. And Zorba, before we pack up for the week, let's go to the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox, because it's time for another edition of Disagreeing with the Doc. Not too long ago, we were talking about alcohol and exercise. You mentioned how, at a local event here, the Crazy Legs Race, they serve beer at the end of it. Well, Dee from Baraboo, Wisconsin, has a small correction for you. You referred to the Crazy Legs Race in Madison as a half marathon, but it's only an 8K, which is 4.87 miles. Picky. However, she continues, at the Madison Half Marathon, they actually serve beer at one of the hydration stops along the course. In the spirit of embracing the experience, I took a sip of the beer, and although I'm not much of a drinker, it tasted wonderful. Viva Wisconsin!
Viva Wisconsin!
If you have a bone to pick, send an email to the show for our next edition of Disagreeing with the Doc. Just send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
We'll see you next week.
Take care, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our recipe podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org.
Don't forget you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. Laurel and Hardy, or Brad Kohlberg and Adam Friedrich, are the ones that got us into this fine mess. Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich, and our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, expecting your company on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 0918Z. More on healthy living, including heart-healthy recipes, podcasts, show archives, and listener feedback, is available online at ZorbaPastor.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.